Turn to Genesis chapter 24, please. Genesis 24. Dean was here this morning in Sunday school, and this caught my attention. Start reading in verse 50 of Genesis 24. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good." This, of course, is the servant of Abraham who has come looking for a daughter for his master, or a bride for his master, excuse me, and comes to Abraham's family and meets them, and Laban here would be his nephew, and it says, verse 51, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away unto my master.' And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go.' And he said unto them, 'Hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away, that I may go to my master.'" Now this, we saw the servant, you know, as he's presented with the plan, task of seeking this woman. He leaves, you know, no question. Of course, he's a servant, so he has no place to question what he's being asked to do. He's just responsible for doing what he's supposed to do. But he's very diligent about this. And, you know, look, it's now or forget it, you know. Send me away now or the deal's off. Verse 57, they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire in her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his men. No hesitation. She knows nothing about these people. She never met them. This is probably the first she maybe even knows about Abraham. Although, well, maybe they talk, who knows, you know. But where she's going is a foreign place, because Abraham was taken to a foreign place. Away from her family, away from everything that she's familiar with, to everything that is foreign and strange. And yet, I will go. Simple as that. Now. God's laid out before me what I need to do. What am I waiting for? What are you waiting for? How oftentimes do we hesitate when we know there's something we ought to do? Maybe it's witnessing to somebody. Maybe it's something bigger than that, more life-changing than that. But how oftentimes do we draw back? Well, wait a minute. What about? Or maybe? Or how about this? Or, you know, tomorrow? You know? Nope. What do you think? I'll go. That's it. It's done. God wants it. That's all that's needed. Right? That's the way it ought to be. But too often we're not. She knew it was what she was to do, and she did it. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. A little bit different scenario, but I think contains at least somewhat the same thought here. This, of course, is Mary getting news about what is about to come upon her. And verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, she did have some questions about this, some concerns about this saying, but once it was made clear, okay, I accept. I'm not going to question anymore. Not going to resist. Let it be according to thy word. And then the angel departed. It was over. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. And it starts out with this: for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But God doesn't want to destroy your life. He cares about you. He's come to save it. We read the verse this morning, you know, I'm losing it. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That was not it. We're to take up his cross, for no man can who saves his life shall lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, he came to save it. We went out to Romola on Tuesday night. A man named David Sommerdorf, I think I mentioned him Wednesday night, is preaching out there. And in his message, he talked about how, you know, certain things in his life at the time were maybe not right, maybe not good. The way he did things were not right and not godly necessarily. But he said, you know, the all that took place in his life, God has taken that and used that and made him into what he is today. And we fuss and we resist and we get angry about different things. And specifically what he's talking about is how in his marriage, he was not the best husband. And I don't know if he was saved or not. He didn't go into details, but he said, you know, he said, I've apologized to my wife for how I treated her because it was all about me. But he says, you know, he says, what God was doing in her life was using that to make her into the woman she is today. Not to justify the wrongdoing that he did. Nevertheless, God still took those difficult times, those troublesome times, and made her into the woman that she is today. God, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And God will take everything that comes into our life and mold it and make us into what he wants us to be. And again, Joseph is a perfect example of that. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. But with that, now let's read on here. Chapter 9 of Luke, verse 57. It came to pass that as he went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now it becomes more applicable to what I'm looking at. Verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Rebecca didn't do that. She said, I'll go. That's what God wanted. This is the other side of the coin. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first, you know, that me first thing, go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's got to be that commitment on our part and that willingness to go, to do, when God shows us what he wants us to do. One more. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is coming to the end of his life. Elisha has been, in a sense, mentoring under him, traveling with him, training with him, and so forth. And now it's coming down to the end of things here. And look at verse 19. He has not. Elijah comes to Elijah at this point. And verse 19 of 1 Kings 19, he says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." So Elisha is out there, and there's 11 other teams of oxen and plows in front of him. He's got the 12th set of oxen, eating the dust all day long and going through all that process and everything. And then it goes on, he says this. Elijah passes, went to him, put his mantle upon him. Verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And he returned back from him, took the yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. There was no plow to turn back to. He killed the oxen. He fed them to people. That's the end of that. I'm committed. I'm with you, Elijah. Where you go, I'll go. I'm with you all the way. That's what God wants of us. To let go of a lot of stuff from the past and to follow the Lord. To do what he wants us to do when he wants us to do it. Without me first. Suffer me first. Anything going on in your life now where there's some hesitation? Let go. Do what God wants you to do. Amen?